Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have Bill Snyder. He's a fellow Breadbox host and has the weekly show Young Catholics Respond. He has an incredible story of faith and strength that led him to create his apostolate Patchwork Heart Ministries. Today, we'll be discussing his journey and his new Advent devotional, A Contemplative Las Posadas. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, Pete, it's great to be with you, man. Thanks so much for having me on Off the Shelf.
Hey, you're welcome, bud. So I guess to start, I've gotten to know you pretty well the last few years, but many of us may not have an idea who you are. You've had quite an interesting backstory, a serious health issue to begin your life. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I can. So I was born at 3 weeks of age. I was diagnosed with a congenital heart defect, and that heart defect is called tetralogy of Fallot, and it basically meant that I needed to have immediate open heart surgery. So the emergency baptism happened hours before the scalpel number one touched my skin. And it was a traumatic experience for all involved, including myself, even though I don't remember those first two surgeries that I had. It was something that certainly, as the first born grandchild on both sides of the family, it was just something new and fresh and rather traumatic. And exciting, though, too, I think, you know, bringing new life into the family and all of that. So as I kind of reflect on my life over the period of my childhood, there were a lot of challenges that I had to overcome as a result of one of the many medical procedures that I had early on in my life. First couple of years, I was left with a stroke kind of impacted the left half of my body. And so I had to learn how to do things differently than most people. Do everything from tying your shoes, carrying lunch trays, playing musical instruments, all those things. I had to learn how to adapt and do differently than the average person. So I just had a different childhood. And that, of course, impacted my faith, because when I was seeking help, I'd often have to go and reach out for something bigger than myself. I still do. I mean, I think we all do. You know, when we need help, we have to reach out for something bigger and stronger than us. And sometimes it's our parents, but sometimes God. So I just kind of found my relationship with God grow through the struggle and triumphing over them.
Mm-hmm. You know, for as long as I've known you, I've always noticed your positive attitude towards life. But in your youth, as you're looking around you and somewhat, I don't know if struggling is the word I want to use, but as you say, having to adapt, find different ways to do things, was there ever a frustration point, or were you just always strong in your faith and that positive outlook?
I think there are plenty of frustrations. I think in today's social media world, we get so hung up on, you know, making everything look perfect. But let me tell you, my life is far from perfect. So in daily life today, I still struggle with my disability at times. I still curse. I still swear. I still get up at the thing. But it's okay because I know that God is with me through it all. The frustration, the anger, the, all of those things that are part of overcoming challenges in my life are a important lesson in my everyday with each heartbeat. It's like, okay, yeah, I can overcome it. I can do this. I might be angry now. I might be upset. I might be frustrated right now, but I know that God is with me. Tying my shoes was certainly a frustration. Sometimes you're just thrown into it. I always give the example of tying my shoes because it's an easy example to give. But I was in fourth grade. My little brother, who's 3 years younger than me, knew how to tie his shoes before me. I'm playing a game in the classroom with my classmates, and my shoe comes untied. And my teacher says to me, "Billy, tie your shoe." Well, I had absolutely no idea how to tie my shoe. And I'm looking over these knots, and I'm trying to remember what my brother said to my, or what my mom said to my brother, loop over, under, through. I'm like, I'm clueless. I just started making this huge juggernaut on top of my shoe. And I go home, and my mom goes, "Wow, would you look at that?" You know, it's a creativity. It's all those things that are thrown in part of it. So yeah, there's frustration. There's difficulty. But yeah, I think God is the constant through it all. Mm-hmm. So
what moved you to create your nonprofit Patchwork Heart Ministries?
So in 2012, I was at a youth conference, and I was with a bunch of teenagers, and I heard this little voice kept nagging me in my head. I chalk it up to the Holy Spirit, and said, "I want you to create this ministry. I want you to create a ministry. I want you to, you know, go beyond just being a youth minister." And I'm like, "Okay." So I finally challenged God back, and I said, "I'll tell you what. You give me a name for the ministry, I will do it." Throughout the course of the day, we were praying the rosary, kind of broken up throughout the whole day. And the last decade of the rosary was supposed to be on our own on the car ride home. So I'm in the car. I'm praying the fifth decade of the rosary on the ride home. And the Holy Spirit takes a 2x4 and hits me across the face with the name Patchwork Heart Ministry. So I really still had no idea what it was supposed to do, but quickly it spawned into doing some media and doing some blogging, some light podcasting with other people. And over the years, it has now taken off. I mean, what is it, 7 years later from that point, it's just kind of taken off and into a podcast, into working with all kinds of Boston Catholic personalities, some blogging, some writing, and hopefully some speaking soon. So it's just been taken off. That's how it was conceived. Mm-hmm.
So you have a show that's been around for a little while. What drew you to podcasting as a medium for evangelizing?
Yeah, well, I've always had a heart for radio. I was on college radio. And so I was a disc jockey on my college radio station, WUSR. University of Scranton, and I have my degree in TV radio production, and I decided to start podcasting when I started the ministry shortly after. So I was like, you know what? If I felt God saying, you know, I want you to get into the media. I want you to get into, you know, reaching people's hearts. So it didn't take off to the level that it is now until. Several years later, 2014, 2015, is really when the podcast began to take off. But I had always been interested in always wanting to do radio because I have a passion for it. I have my degree in TV radio production, so that's how I kind of came to be.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to discuss more with Bill Schneider, and we'll cover his Advent devotional when we come back after this.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're spending it today with Bill Schneider, and we're covering his Advent devotional, A Contemplative Las Posadas. I believe I pronounced that correctly. That still trips me up as I talk about it. But Bill, your devotional is an Advent-themed devotional, but it's based upon tradition in Mexico. Can you tell us a bit about that tradition?
Yeah, so when I was looking to do a devotional for Advent, I recognized that there were not, there's some out there, but there weren't a whole lot of creative English devotionals for Advent. You know, a lot of them are just scripture reflections for the day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had some contact when I was a youth minister at St. Francis de Sales in Lake Geneva with a very large Mexican population. We had a large Hispanic population there, masses, and all their devotions and things were going on. And one of the things that was close to their heart was the posadas. The posadas basically mean it's Christmas houses. I mean, Posada Navideña is like a Christmas house. What it is a reenactment of the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and where the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph travel and meet the rejection of innkeepers along the way, all the way to where they find themselves giving birth to the Christ child in the stable, because there was no room for them in any of the inns. And so this devotion is actually acted out in Mexico, where they walk from house to house to house 9 nights, and they get rejected and get rejected, and eventually they enter in. I live in Wisconsin. It's a little cold to be walking outside at 7 degrees 9 consecutive nights. Tonight's mm-hmm. Going to be like 7 degrees outside. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to capture the tradition of this and then modify it for a contemplative kind of devotional. So what I did was I asked my now wife to translate the traditional Posada song that they sing while traveling house to house into English. And then what I did was I pulled 9 themes out of the out of that song and created a devotional from that. So that's this thing, but the actual Posada Navideña or the Posadas is a walk that is done by the primarily in Mexico, but also a lot of other Latin American cultures do it.
Where it's much warmer.
Yes, where it's much warmer.
So let's spend the rest of our time together taking a look at some of the themes within your devotional. It's a great little compact devotional, and I highly recommend everybody gets themselves a copy to journey through this remaining days of Advent with. So that first day you look at, it's called Day 1, A Call to Hope. Why is hope so important for us in the season of Advent?
Hope is something that is never realized fully. If you have hope, it means that you're always striving for something. Because once you obtain the thing that you're hoping for, then you no longer have any reason to hope.
Mm-hmm.
So hope, I believe, is something great to think about during Advent in particular, because, you know, Jesus hasn't come yet. He hasn't hit the manger yet in the life of the church, at least for 2019. And so we can hope. Still, this season of Advent, we can hope that Christ will come in a new way in our life, and that he will give us, you know, new breath into our ministry or new life into our families. That is something, and we need to reflect on that. It's something mm-hmm. that we need to look at. So I think that's the reason why hope is so very important.
And as you progress into day two, I think this one dovetails perfectly off of hope, and that one's triumph over fear. And I think a lot of us at times can be paralyzed by fear.
Yes. Absolutely. I think when you when I think about fear anyway, I know that as a human being, that fear is constantly part of my life. I fear this, I fear that, I fear not living up to expectations. I fear all kinds of things in my life. And I think we have to be honest about it. I think one of the stories, And I use it in the book, one of the stories about fear is that, you know, Peter steps out on the water confidently, and then fear grips him and it sinks him so fast. And in the world today, there are so many storms out there that are just raging endlessly. We have to remember that the gospel also teaches us that Jesus has control of the storm, right? He extends his hand and he goes, the storm will stop. So with that knowledge in mind, with that in mind, we have to remember that fear shouldn't paralyze us.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be something that we have to fear. I mean, it's the old quote, you know, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, right?
Right.
But that's so true, because there isn't anything we have to fear when we place our hope in Jesus. When we place our hope in Jesus that he will still the storm, then fear doesn't grip us.
Right. Yeah, that's a very, very good point. You know, in day three, you look at what the title of the section is the resilience of peace. You know, peace can have a pretty wide-ranging definition, shall we say. It could be world peace in war, or it could just be peace within our families. What can we do to obtain this peace that, in essence, will put some stability in our lives if we have it?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that strikes me about peace is what Jesus says about joy in the gospel. I believe it's John 15. I don't have my Bible in front of me right this very moment, but I believe it's John 15. And when you read that chapter in John, he talks about giving you complete joy. And how do you obtain complete joy from Jesus? It is by laying down one's life for one's friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do what he commands us, which is to follow his commandments, to lay down our life, then we get that joy. And peace and joy are kind of like brothers and sisters. They really are. When you obtain this joy that kind of keeps you steady throughout the storms of life, you then get peace. They're also both fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I like to often say fruits of the Holy Spirit grow out of our disposition. Gifts are from God. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts that are given to us that we can't acquire without God's help. But fruits of the Holy Spirit grow up from the ground up. And the more we are disposed to God's working in our life, then the more those fruits develop out of our soul. So you display the fruits based on the response to the gifts. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, and how it is with peace, you know, we can look inwardly into ourselves, and we can look inwardly into ourselves and say, what do I need to do to obtain peace? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is going to the sacrament of reconciliation, because when we're reconciled with our God, then we reconcile with our brothers and sisters, then we lay the groundwork for peace to be able to enter in, because there's nothing blocking us. There's no roadblocks to our relationships. So I would say, you know, what is the key? As you were asking, I think reconciliation is really the key to obtaining peace and ultimately that joy as well. Mm.
And in the fourth day, you look at the resonance of rejection. Now, for those who haven't read the devotional, are you referring to us rejecting or us being rejected?
You know, that's a really good thing. I believe that I refer in the book to us rejecting others, and when I talk about it, I use actually the quote from Mother Teresa, and I'll just read it here because I think it's so beautiful about us. What happens when we reject other people is we leave them starving. We leave them starving for God, and it says, being unwanted, unloved, uncared for, forgotten by everybody, I think of a much greater hunger, a much greater poverty than the person who has nothing to eat. And so, you know, when we look, and that's St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and when we look at that as a quote and a kind of a groundwork for rejection, that is what we do when we reject somebody based on our perception of their character, by a perception of something they've done. When we just write it off and go, oh, now they're no good, I don't want to associate myself with that person, what happens is it nullifies the gift that God wants to give us through that person. And it might not be the most comfortable gift that God wants to give you. Some people annoy us, some people frustrate us, right? I mean, it just happens. But God is working through that situation and giving you a gift. And you have to be wise enough to recognize that and understand that and to know that. So that's what I challenge the reader to do in that section on that day.
Mm. We're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be back to wrap our discussion with Bill Snyder. We'll be right back.
How much do you know about the 10 traditional titles of Mary? In their beautiful new book, Virgin Mother Queen, renowned Marian expert Dr. Robert Festighi and Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter, team up to uncover little-known details about 10 of the traditional titles of Mary and her appearances around the world since the time of Christ. Rich in history, scripture, and church teaching, Virgin Mother Queen includes full-color illustrations and recounts in story and teaching why the apparitions and titles of Mary continue to be relevant today. Find your copy at AveMariaPress.com. Use code FREE25 to get free shipping on orders of $25 or more today.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We are here today with Bill Snyder discussing his Advent devotional, A Contemplative Las Posadas. And we are now up to day 5. And Bill, this one is the gift of acceptance. What were you trying to get at with this one?
You know, this truly was a Holy Spirit moment with this day of reflection, the reflection on this day, because when I began to think about acceptance, I had no idea where I was going to go with it. And the Holy Spirit told me to open up the Bible. He said, you know, through prayer, he's like, open up the Bible and flip open and just, and I want you to read something that I'm going to put in front of your eyes. And it was Leviticus. And I'm like, okay, I can count on one hand the number of hours I've spent reading Leviticus. I probably can count on one finger the number of hours I've spent reading Leviticus. And so it really led me to this whole reflection about what it means to be unclean. And what opened my eyes was the incredible truth that leprosy and childbirth both caused somebody to be unclean, and that had a host of implications for somebody journeying who would be pregnant. So here's Mary traveling with Joseph, and they're going to knock on the doors of these inns, and these innkeepers take one look at her, and they go, she can't stay here because anything that she lies on during her impurity will be unclean. Everything which she sits upon will be unclean if she gives birth here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't allow that. So it's like rejection all over. And when are we able to accept somebody in their current circumstance was really what I was led to contemplate on, you know, after reading that. When do we accept somebody in their current circumstance? Not judging them based on what they're doing, what they're carrying, you know, in their belly, what mm-hmm. they're not doing at home or what they are doing. That is the challenge mm-hmm. that we have in Advent, just to accept. That doesn't mean we have to agree with them,
right.
And it doesn't mean we have to like it. It doesn't mean we have to condone their sin or anything like that. Jesus doesn't do those things, but we still have to offer that acceptance to them, be welcoming, and that leads to conversion. That leads to conversion of hearts. That leads to deeper truth. Thinking about that was where I was in reflecting on that day.
Yeah, that's a pretty great connection you made there. I would have never thought of that until we just talked about it. So on day six, you look at the burden of weariness. And I think this one, to me, was a big one, involved in all the different things I am, which is a story for another day. But I think we all tend to succumb to weariness sometimes. How can we get over that and push through that?
Yeah, we really do have a lot of things going on in our lives. I think it's just the natural state of the world today. You know, we're involved in so many things and we're connected in so many different ways. But I think the most important thing when you take a look at weariness is kind of the quote that I use from Heraclitus. It is weariness to keep toiling at the same things so that one becomes ruled by them. You know, what are you being ruled by that is causing you to just keep falling down and collapsing, you know, at the end of the day?
Right.
If you keep toiling at these dead ends in your life, I mean, everything that we work toward is a dead end if it does not have the proper focus of that we're working for the kingdom of God in it. You know, and so, you know, if you're out, you know, chasing, you know, late night parties, or you're out doing all of these other things that are not oriented toward God, they're all dead ends. They're all dead ends. And so it's by refocusing that. And I'm not saying those things don't have a place, right? Your human friendships and interests, occupations, they're all important. But you've got to give them the right focus, which is this going to help me get to the kingdom of heaven? And is it going to help others reach there as well? And with that focus in mind, then we rarely find ourselves weary when we have that focus in mind, because we know that God will give us the stamina to push through the tiredness and not be weary when we keep our focus on him and help others see him as well.
Right. And on day seven, you dovetail that with the gift of rest. And I see what you did there. Day seven, rest.
I know, right?
Nice one, Bill.
I didn't originally have it on day seven. until I was like, day six, the gift of rest. Now it doesn't work. I need to move to day seven. So, in today's world with weariness, it's really important to take holy rest. And what that looks like, you know, is intentionally stopping and spending time with God, because that is what day seven was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God said to us, I created the pinnacle of my creation, which is you, human beings, on the sixth day. It's all complete. I believe that you will be capable stewards of all of this that I have created. Enjoy that rest with me forever. Well, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen, but that's the intention. So then what does God do? He tells us and commands us to rest, right? And it comes as part of the Ten Commandments that we must stop working and rest and not do any work. And, you know, in today's world, even in today's church, you know, we're constantly working. There are people that are youth ministers and priests and bishops that are working, you know, way too many hours, doing way too much stuff, mm-hmm. that God is asking them to slow down and to stop at least one day a week and have that prayer life, have that time of fellowship with God. You know, that's part of it. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be in a communion with Him. I mean, that's part of the life God desires for us. So, yeah, we need to rest. It's not just turning on the Do Not Disturb feature on our phones and going to sleep after working 12 hours. It's not what rest is.
Right. Day eight, you look at the scourge of intolerance in today's political and social atmosphere. I think that's a very important one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, intolerance is something that is rising up a lot in our society. And when I approached this reflection, I wanted to do so from a child's perspective, because when you look at intolerance, children are rarely intolerant. And so I actually ended up using green eggs and ham as a basis for this. And I really encourage the readers to take a look at that and read it, or listeners to, when they read the book, to really take that to heart, because I think we all need to remember that when we're little kids, we're rarely intolerant. You know, we're rarely intolerant of somebody else. And intolerance grows out of our own biases, really. And so learning how to respect differences and honor differences and seek common ground. In our political climate, in our church, there's so much intolerance at times. And so definitely reframing that and looking and being childlike really, I think, helps. And even, you know, the challenge from Jesus about tolerance, I think, is really summed up in Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, which I quote at the end of the chapter, end of the mini chapter there. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? And if even sinners love those who love them, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. So, yeah, people who are saints do something totally different. You know, the saints do something totally different. They're tolerant. They don't have to agree. Again, they don't agree with everything. In fact, in order to be tolerant, you first must disagree with mm-hmm. the principal person or a problem. You have to disagree with it in order to be tolerant.
Right.
So disagreement doesn't mean that you're, intolerant. It just means that you recognize that there's a difference, and that in that difference of opinion, in that difference of whatever it is, you can still love that person unconditionally.
Right. And you close up the devotional on day 9 with the response of mercy. Very important topic, something I think we all need to learn better if we don't have it already. What can you tell us about mercy?
Well, you know what? I thought after the intolerance the reflection, mercy kind of flowed mm-hmm. from that. And I think it was kind of a capstone as well, because mercy, as St. Faustina quoted, is the greatest act, the greatest attribute of God. And so, you know, when you look at that, if that's the greatest attribute of God, we need to model that. That's the first thing that we need to model. And I think when you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus shows us that everyone, every single person is worthy of receiving mercy from us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we need to take that to heart during the Christmas season, I also think that during the Christmas season or during the Advent season, our secular culture has a focus on goodwill like none other time of the year. We see it in A Wonderful Life that gets played on TV, or we see it in this music or the general culture that we live in has a focus on promoting goodwill. And because of that, we can capitalize on showing mercy to those people during this season and demonstrating what that looks like, bringing them back to church or bringing them into a deeper awareness of Christ, praying with them, being spontaneous in prayer with people. This time of year gives that, our secular culture hands us a gift because, you know, the other 9 months out of the year, we don't see that.
Mm. Great stuff. A wonderful devotional. Bill, where can people find your work and particularly this devotional?
So this devotional is available on all the Amazon and, you know, all that good stuff. But if you go over to my website, patchworkheart.org, you will find a web store there where you can purchase this and all the other devotionals and books and things that I have there. That's the best way to probably get it. The fastest way to get it is probably on my website. I will just mention that this devotional technically starts, if you want to follow the traditional Posada, when it starts is December 16th. So December 16th is the first day, and then it ends on Christmas Eve. But again, it can be prayed at any time
mm-hmm.
During the Advent season. So don't feel like, oh, I got to do it those 9 days.
Right.
But if you're looking to get a copy before that, head over to my website, patchworkheart.org.
And to be quite honest with you, I think it has value any time of the year, regardless of what calendar month we are in. Bill, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us today. Any closing thoughts?
No, it's been awesome to be with you, Pete, and I love being in the vineyard and love being able to share my story and the story of the Posadas with listeners. So really appreciate the ability and platform to do that today. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.